This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre. Straight Fire for Thursday, October 14th. Kind of a slow Wednesday night in sports, wasn't it? No MLB postseason, although tonight we get Game 5, Dodgers-Giants from San Fran. It's a big one, folks. I will admit I have started to get excited about the baseball postseason. I hit up some of my friends at Fox saying, hey, in the NLCS, can I get some Dodgers tickets? And let's just say they didn't say that the Giants have to win Game 5 because everybody in LA thinks the Giants are winning Game 5. I'm optimistic. We'll see what happens. It's a good Thursday night in sports, right? You also get Buccaneers-Eagles Thursday night football. We will have a best bet at the end of the podcast. I have already placed a small wager and some prop action. Props have been hot for me on primetime games. But before we get to the best bet, I got to quickly just say, I know we have some soccer fans on the pod. Not a ton. I know, obviously, my ownership stake in Necaxa. By the way, we have a huge game this week for the playoff push. Some soccer fans on the pod. USA triumphant. Nice 2-1 win. I will just say, as excited as I am for Team USA and as closely as I follow it, the goal by Canada superstar Alphonso Davies was unbelievable. I put it on my social media feed. If you haven't seen it, oh my gosh. And then I stopped my kid and I was like, hey, you need to come here and watch this. You know how I get on your case for not hustling sometimes? Look at this guy single-handedly hustling his rear end off. Saves the ball from going out of bounds when the opponent basically thought it was going to go out. Then scores an incredible goal. I mean, world class. And it's like, that's the one thing that I pride myself on when I'm doing sports, hashtag dad life, is I am never going to stop running. I'm never going to stop hustling. If you see me not hustling, I'll pull myself out of the game. I'll say, hey, I need a sub. Because otherwise, like, what are you doing out there? If you're half-assing it, you're not doing anything. And it just frustrates me, and listen, I'm not going to go too much into the soccer tournament from last weekend, but let's just say I didn't think everybody was hustling. I mean, I'm making 50-yard sprints, even as like a when I was up front, just because I could see, I got to get back, or we're going to concede a goal. I sprint 50 yards back just to stop a guy making a run, and then, you know, we win, and they're like, oh, great hustle, Jake. I'm like, I need to pull out. Get me out of here for a minute. I need a breather, because that takes a lot out of you. And I know when I'm out there, I'm going to be hustling. And to see Alphonso Davies pull that off was just unbelievable. When I stop hustling, I know that I'm done playing sports as an adult. And I still got plenty of good years left, I think. At any rate, I want to talk about the word trust in sports real quick. I saw an incredible answer to a question about the John Gruden emails from Brandon Staley, the Chargers coach, and we're in the middle of watching Ted Lasso, so I'll say wunderkind. Brandon Staley is a wunderkind, not a wonder kid. Ted Lasso fans will know what I'm talking about. But Brandon Staley gave a great answer about trust and the Gruden emails. And I was thinking about trust and, you know, yeah, it applies to Gruden. And I'm sure for the sports media fans and those who follow the sports media, Adam Schefter's in a little bit of hot water. And I'm not going to go after the guy. I know him a little bit. So of these 650,000 emails that the NFL's investigating, turns out that 10 years ago, Adam Schefter sent one to someone at Washington basically saying, hey, does my story look good? You know, Mr. Editor, jokingly. And obviously, Schefter's just getting bombarded. And it's pretty embarrassing to have that come to light as a journalist. Like, a lot of people out there asking, can you trust Schefter? I mean, listen, guys, we know journalists in the NFL, they're not splitting the atom. They're not, you know, what was that? The Watergate. They're not breaking major stories. Like this is the NFL. Okay. It just doesn't really happen. Although there are some that have been pretty big, but by and large, let's be realistic about that. Okay. So there's one thing about trust in journalism, and that really extends to all the stuff with COVID and to the like 17 of you who actually looked up the story that I mentioned yesterday, Tablet Mag. Trust is a big one because, as I said, I was sending it to a bunch of my doctor friends, and you know, I got some smart, rich guys that I know. I also send stuff to them to bounce it off of them. And universally, Jason, what is this trash you're sending me? Give me a break. Tell me you don't believe this crap. This is just total malarkey. These guys have no idea what they're talking about. And it became a discussion about trust in journalism. And obviously, the author of that piece, he's no like journalist. Look him up. You can. His Twitter handle's there. You can go see, you know, like he's just a guy who is like basically like a fan, not a fan, but like he's just a dude who's compiling links and putting them together and trying to call himself a journalist. And it's like, yikes. Like that's not a good piece of journalism, but it's making the rounds. The person who sent it to me initially is a smart guy and I trust him. He was just kind of trying to look at the other side of things, but trust is gone in journalism. You know, at this point you can find any argument you want to defend whatever you're arguing on the internet. You can find anything, any example of what you want to defend, you can find it on the internet. Because how can you trust everything you read online? And when it comes to sports, like, are you kidding me? Ben Simmons showed up in Philadelphia this week. Sixers fans are like, yes, we got it. Trust the process is back on. Ben Simmons is in Philly. He's going to give this a go. You really trust Ben Simmons here, guys? Listen, many years ago, when Ben Simmons was coming out of LSU, I had just moved out here, I think. And as I told you, I got to know some people close to Ben Simmons just from going to my gym and they work with him. And it was clear back then that Ben Simmons did not want to go to Philadelphia. Back then. Go look up the stories on Ben Simmons withholding medical information from the Sixers. He did it until the very last moment he could, exploring quietly all options he could to avoid going to Philly, and he really wanted to be in LA. That's a fact. I'm not making this up. This is real. Ben Simmons didn't want to go there. And you guys should know this by now. Ben Simmons, you know, well, Jason, why did he sign the extension? Well, that was the only option. He could not at that point do anything else other than take the money. Because guess what? You get the money first. And then as we're seeing, stars can dictate where they want to go. So right now, Simmons doesn't have an avenue to LA. Lakers are stacked. Doesn't have an avenue to the Clippers. But he wants out of Philadelphia, obviously. So he's back there. We'll see what happens. We'll see. Maybe he plays it right so he can get his money. And he realizes, oh my gosh, I'm giving up millions of dollars here. Oh my goodness. Maybe he's turning over a new leaf. But I am almost certain that Ben Simmons will come up with something to not play in Philadelphia again. Whether it's an injury, the famous Kyrie Irving in Cleveland, I'm not going to play for you, so trade me or I will say I'm getting surgery to fix an injury. The Cavs traded him. Now, Daryl Morey's a bit more of a hard ass than they were in Philadelphia, than in Cleveland, and Morey is going to do everything he can. And Simmons has to do his part of look interested, and I'm here, I'm showing up, blah, blah, blah. But I'm telling you right now, just because Ben Simmons is there, I don't trust that he wants to play for the Sixers, or he will play for the Sixers. And then to extend trust even further, we talk about it with quarterbacks. Like, do you tie game, 2 minutes left, Aaron Rodgers has the ball. You trust he's going to deliver, right? It's Aaron Rodgers. This is what he's done for 2 decades. Tua Tagovailoa? No, I don't.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Alabama's probably going to face Georgia in the SEC title game. We know Nick Saban owns his former coaches. Obviously, he had 24 in a row, and then the Jimbo Fisher one got him. But do you trust Kirby Smart to take down Nick Saban? Now, Georgia's better than Alabama this year. Defensively, certainly. Offensively, we'll see. Do you trust Kirby Smart in that game against Nick Saban? He's come close. He's never pulled it off, Kirby. You got to do it. You got to prove it to me, Kirby. You know, I've got to see it. And the other thing about trust that I really like talking about is all these guys who, and you see them thumping their chest, you can trust me. Trust me. I'm so honest. I'm so trustworthy. Well, if you're out there telling people that you're trustworthy and honest, you're probably not honest and trustworthy, right? These are what con men do. They con you into thinking, hey, trust me. Trust me on this. I got this. So even when I say, hey, guys, yeah, trust me on this, I really like the Chiefs this weekend against the Washington football team. I know you're going to laugh. Line has gone from 6.5 to 7. And I can sell you as hard as I want on the Chiefs. Trust me. Listen, was I on the Chiefs against the Bills? Yes. But I was also on the Chiefs against the Eagles. I know the ATS record's awful, but you got to consider the opponents. Chiefs played the Chargers. They're really good. Chiefs played the Bills. They're really good. Chiefs played the Browns. They're really good. The Chiefs have struggled against excellent teams. Is Washington excellent or close to it? I mean, are they? They're closer to the Eagles than any of the good opponents the Chiefs have faced. Patrick Mahomes is going to go up and down the field against that defense, unless like he gets injured from Chase Young or something crazy. But trust me on this one. I got the Chiefs. That's the one game I do like this week. And again, though, I say trust, and can I trust Jason on this one? I mean, the one thing that I like to say, I'm going to make the podcast interesting every day. And that's tough. I mean, you may not like what I say. You may not agree with it. Hell, you may disagree. You may fire off an angry DM to me on Instagram. And I get a couple of those. That's fine. If you guys are agreeing with every single thing I'm saying, it's probably not good, right? There's got to be some disagreement. And then we come back to Kyrie Irving because he's trusting a lot of garbage that he reads on the internet. That's clear. He's trusting in all the wrong people in his circle. And he went on Instagram Live last night. I know there's a long buildup to Kyrie Irving. But a day after we clown the shit out of him for saying, I want to be the voice for the voiceless, anonymously because he was afraid to put his name on it. He went on Instagram to bolster his Instagram following, obviously. I'm standing with all those who believe what is right. Everybody is entitled to do what they feel is what's best for themselves. Seeing the way that this is dividing our world up, it's sad to see. People are losing jobs to mandates. Really, Kyrie? This is what you're saying? This is your big thing. And you know what? The sad thing is, a lot of, I don't want to call them idiots, but a lot of fans of Kyrie Irving are going to be like, he's right. He's right. These mandates are wrong. Kyrie Irving, high school graduate. Don't know if he got his advanced degree. I'm sure he's done a lot of studies into COVID and the vax and the booster shot. He's probably done his homework. He's done his research. You know that meme of like a guy sitting on a toilet scrolling on the internet or YouTube or whatever? And like that's like doing research. Yeah, I'm sure you guys have seen that meme. Come on, it's funny. Regardless of if you have the vax or not, that is funny. You have to admit that. And so Kyrie went on this long rant. And folks, it's looking more and more like he ain't going to be suiting up for the Nets. And I don't see him suiting up anywhere this season. There was a report on Wednesday that said the Nets are no longer offering Kyrie Irving that extension. Like, what? Seriously? Now, Kyrie's made a ton of money, I think around $150 million, $160 million, and that doesn't even include the Nike deal, the movie money from Uncle Drew, but he's looking at, if he gets the vaccine, follows the rules that he needs to so he can play for the Nets, he's looking at passing up $200 million. Now, the Nets will pay him for road games, as they're required to, but man, that $186 million contract extension. You want to help folks? Why don't you make the $186 million and give away stuff? Ah, Jason, stay out of Kyrie's pocket. That's fine. I know. You're not helping them by not playing basketball and taking this quote-unquote stance. That's doing nothing, Kyrie Irving. Absolutely nothing. Not a damn thing. You want to help people? Get out there. Get off your butt. Hey, listen, if you don't want to play basketball, great. You got a lot of options. You got a ton of money. Go to work. But this, like, hey, I'm just going to be the voice for the voiceless by not playing basketball and basically doing a protest. What is this, like one of these sit-ins where you just sit there and don't eat food for 30 days and hope that they capitulate? Like, there's no game plan here. I forget where I forget who said it. It might have been a Boston writer, but the line, the great line for Kyrie Irving was contrarian without a cause. And that, I think that sums him up greatly. I don't trust him. I feel bad for Kyrie. I feel bad for Kevin Durant. And I know a lot of people didn't like that I said that. You feel bad for KD because he followed this idiot to Brooklyn? At least he's got James Harden. And by the way, it seems like Harden is fine. It seems like Harden is totally fine with Kyrie Irving moving on. I'm sure he misses him, but James Harden gets to be more James Harden. Ball's in his hands more. Doesn't have to really share it. Doesn't have to get yelled at by Kyrie, who is notorious for yelling at teammates. Like, wow, there's a win for James Harden, if you ask me. So ultimately, it's a win for Kevin Durant. Listen, Harden was able to get the Rockets to the Western Conference Finals. Kevin Durant has been able to do incredible things, nearly got the Nets to the finals last year. Like, I think they're going to be fine. And as much as Kyrie Irving wants to be a voice for the voices, like, is anybody going to miss Kyrie if he's not there? Now, if Harden gets hurt or something, yeah, sure. But the NBA season is going to go on with or without you. This is a machine. The NBA is happening, Kyrie. Quickly, before I get to the best bet, I just wanted to add a quick TV note. Is anybody out there watching the show La Brea? I decided to give it a shot while doing some research on Wednesday. You know, it's getting ready for NFL and college football. I will have best bets for both. Weak college football slate. But on my Fox picks, I went 4-1 last week. Another winning week. It's been a good season in college. NFL, I just got to get a little bit hotter. It's frustrating. 2-2-1 last week in the contest. But I start watching the show La Brea. It feels like it wants to be part Lost and part, what's that airplane show? Where the airplane, it's a recent show. The airplane got stuck in like some time warp. It's a pretty good show. I can't believe I'm spacing another NBC show. But it feels like it's those two kind of mixed together. You know, I text my brother, who is a huge TV nerd, doesn't have kids, and him and his wife watch a ton of shows. He's always hitting me. Oh, did you see this on Netflix? Did you see this on Amazon? I'm like, dude, I'm so behind on this. And we're going to start Squid Games. He's, of course, already begun it. And I texted him about La Brea. And he's like, I've got the episode saved. I watched a preview, and I saw a CGI saber-toothed tiger, and I was like, what is this crap? That's just basically my brother. Like, we will give shows a chance that don't even look great. My wife, of course, a little different. She's just like, no, I'm not watching that. That's a waste of my time. And listen, it's not like Billions, where when you're watching Billions, you're in on Billions. No phone in your hand. You're locked in. When you're watching La Brea, I'm like doing 7 things on my computer and watching. There's not a lot of thought involved. But there's my little TV note for October 20. 21. Because I do watch some network TV. I know the best stuff is on streaming. Yes, I got that. And don't give me any Squid Games spoilers, okay? All right, let's get to the best bet for Thursday Night Football.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. The only thing better than sitting on your couch watching the game is making money while you do it. Here's your best bet.
All right, let's get to the best bet here on Straight Fire. Buccaneers travel to the Eagles. On the surface, Tampa should roll, right? I mean, Tampa Bay is a really good team. They're getting healthier, although, as you guys saw late on Wednesday, the injury report did not look good for the Bucs from 3 specific players. Winfield, the great safety who makes all the plays, he's out. Gronkowski, the tight end, you know, he's out with the ribs. And Lavonte David, one of their better linebackers, also out. Listen, they've got a stacked roster, although O.J. Howard and Brait were like, replacing Gronk. Richard Sherman was horrible filling in at cornerback. And it's a big loss to lose Winfield in the secondary. He makes plays, but Minter is if you guys remember him, the former LSU linebacker, will fill in. I don't like this matchup defensively for the Bucs. I will admit, I took 7 with Philly. I don't feel great about it. It's a small play, but a couple things here at play. Number one, Tampa Bay has looked great at home, smashing teams and pulling away. 48-25 over Atlanta, 45-17 over Miami. But they've gone on the road twice. and the Rams did whatever they wanted to this Tampa Bay defense, and New England really hung tough with them. And, you know, I don't think either of those teams, well, I guess the Rams technically probably have a better defense than the Eagles, but this Eagles defense is tough. They will fight. I know the Cowboys carved them up, and Tom Brady will have success, but the first factor is Philadelphia at home, you know, off the big win. I think they'll feel invigorated. They're getting healthier on the offensive line, which is big. The big one is Lane Johnson. Like, where is he? What's going on? He's now missed two straight games, but they are getting healthy. The left tackle, Mailata, is fine. He's a go. Derek Barnett on the edge is a go. Landon Dickerson is fine on the offensive line. So in the trenches, they should be able to hold their own. When the offensive line's been healthy, they've been okay. I don't love this Eagles team at all. In fact, I don't really like them. I don't think Jalen Hurts is the long-term answer. Sure, he makes plays in the red zone and keeps plays alive and can do crafty stuff, but long-term, he ain't the guy. That being said, here, the matchup is pretty good. If you can get Jalen Hurts in space against these linebackers who are awesome when healthy, but again, no Lavonte David, no Winfield, who's really a really key factor there in the secondary, I like Philly's chances to keep this close. And again, the final point here, and this is a little silly, but it's real. Tom Brady, in his last 10 primetime games, by the way, the Super Bowl, not technically primetime, because it starts on, I think, 5:20 on the East Coast, something like that. So that's technically not primetime. Last 10 primetime games against the spread, Tom Brady is 0-10. I don't know what that is about. I genuinely have no clue. But is there something to Tom Brady not playing well at night? We all remember the four down game against the Bears last year, the opener against the Cowboys. Brady did not cover. Again, it's not something that you can blindly bet and say, well, Brady stinks in prime time, I'm going to fade him. What about the New England game? Brady was mediocre. He did make some key late passes. Antonio Brown catches that TD. You know, they still don't cover. But you know, Brady has not looked incredible in primetime. Again, you go to those afternoon games. He's thrown for 432 against the Rams, 411 against Miami. You know, he had a pretty decent game against Dallas, but again, no cover. So if you're telling me Jalen Hurts is down 28-14 or 28-27-13, whatever, with 4 minutes left and the Bucs are going to go prevent, yeah, I think Jalen Hurts can probably come in the back door. And Devontae Smith, a good matchup. If you can get him matched up against Richard Sherman, that's a beatdown. Huge advantage there for Smith, who has played pretty damn well. I got to say, I wasn't a huge fan of his coming in. Just too small for me to take that high in the draft. But he's played extremely well. The kid Watkins has been their big play guy. Had a huge one against Carolina that flipped the game and against the 49ers. But Devontae Smith leads them in receptions by a lot. Leads them in targets by a lot. Leads him in first downs. Like, he is Jalen Hurts' guy. There is something cool there going on. Ertz and Goddard have not been great out of the gate. It's early. My guy, Miles Sanders, really needs to get in the offense. This is not the game where he's going to get unleashed running. I have him in fantasy. He's killing me. No rushing touchdowns on the season. No receiving touchdowns. Like, Miles Sanders, get in the act. But again, Tampa, great run defense, so you're not going to get loose here. Jalen Hurts leads the Eagles in rushing. 256 yards. That's not good. So, again, I don't think long-term this is a thing for Jalen Hurts and the Eagles, but I do think in this spot, they can get the cover at 7. Now, it's 7 now, but you know, if this hits 6.5, I don't love it as much. This feels like there's going to be an opportunity for Brady to put it on the Eagles, but the Eagles will also should be able to come in the back door here and cover 7. I'm not taking it at 6.5. 7 or pass for me. By the way, if you are curious, Eagles have the Raiders and Lions coming up. If in some way, shape, or form, they're able to pull off the upset against Tampa. And I don't think anybody thinks Vegas is a legit threat. Detroit, we know, is a dumpster fire. But a formidable foe, but a dumpster fire. All of a sudden, you're looking at, wait a minute, is there a way the Eagles could get to 6-6 by Halloween? Is that possible? I'm sorry, not 6-6. 5-3 or 5-4. There's a chance, a small chance, they could be over 500 before they get to the second half of the season, which would be a surprise. I didn't think they'd be the second best team in the NFC East, but here we are. So there's my best bet. If you're looking at prop angles, I would see what you can get for Jalen Hurts running. I also think Devontae Smith could be in line for a big one here. So I'd look Devontae Smith props and Jalen Hurts again. I will admit I've been on something of a heater on these primetime games. Fox has, you know, they have their post on the website, and they ask me for what my prop is, and I think I'm like 4 for 4 in the last 4 weeks. It's been pretty good run. So I like the Eagles getting points, and I would look closely at Jalen Hurts overs and Devontae Smith overs. All right, everybody, enjoy the game, and go Dodgers. Talk to you tomorrow.